as I was putting this lesson together, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I thought, you know, there ain't no way. We don't have enough hours left in the day. And I could quickly see that we were going to end up with a short series. I'm not a series type of guy, but this is a very important subject, dealing with temptation. It's in your handout here. And I thought to do a little handout because it would be a refresher, plus with some fill-in-the-blanks, it would give us a chance to write in some key words. I'm not a handout kind of a guy ordinarily, as you know. But to keep the continuity of this lesson, I think it would be very important. Notice the first paragraph in your little handout there. The study on dealing with temptation, it says, will take several weeks. We'll break down dealing with temptation into several components. Here they are, the trouble with the mind, that's the first one. The trouble with lust, the flesh and the eyes, that'll be the next one. The trouble with the devil. And then finding help in the cross, finding help in the Lord Jesus, finding help in the Holy Spirit, finding help in the Word of God, and finding help in prayer. And after this study or series, we should be thoroughly equipped to deal with temptation. There's a lot to it, in other words. You know, I don't know about you, I'm always looking for sort of that secret thing. You quote 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful, who not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And you're trying to remember that in the middle of a temptation, and all you end up coming up with, well, it'll never give you more than you can bear. You cave into the temptation, you go, what went wrong here? You know, so it's frustrating. It is, and I know that the Lord desires for us to have victory in sin. You and I are never going to be sinless. Not till we get a glorified body. We understand that. But, I mean, obviously, we'd like to do a little better than we do with this issue. And, you know, some of them you got knocked. But if you look back on those, you probably could have done that without the Lord. You just changed some habits in your life. You're dealing with some things just like I am that just seem to really, you know, get to you. So we'll look at it in its various components. And tonight, we'll look at one that we probably don't look at enough, and that is the trouble with the mind. And we'll go into that and see what the Bible has to say about it. But let's go in and have a word of prayer and see what we get God involved in this and by that learn something tonight that will really help us. That's what we need. Father, we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we don't pray that tonight just because that's what we're supposed to do. We pray that tonight because we're desperate, truly, for you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We can't do this work without you. There's just no way. We pray for Mike Reagan and Jim Donath in New York and in Michigan. We ask you, Father, to bless those men and their churches, and likewise fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, give them good people. Help them to train their folks. And I pray, Lord God, that they'll be spiritually minded, that they will be desirous of doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will be able to reproduce and find others that are lost, that can be saved and be a part of their church. And I pray, Father, that these men will be encouraged. And Lord, we look for you to help us tonight to learn about temptation and to do a better job of dealing with it in our lives. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so a big part of the problem, truly, with temptation takes place in the mind. If you go back and you look at sin in your life, if you're able to do this and analyze what went wrong, it's not just that you made the decision to commit a sin. You go back, many times you will find that your mind was involved in this process early on and began to go wrong or set the stage for the eventual problem that you had in giving in to the temptation. So we're going to see what the Bible has to say about minds and what the Lord has to do to straighten ours out. And we're just going to look at a few verses of Scripture and follow down through the outline and hopefully learn something that will be very profitable for us tonight. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 then. That's our text. I put on the top of your paper there, I already see a typo, Ephesians 2:13. You see on the title right there, Trouble with Temptation or Trouble with the Mind. That's Ephesians 2:1-3, not 13. Left a hyphen out of there. If I hadn't done this at the last minute, I might have caught that, but Ephesians 2, 1-3, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened, that's to make you alive, you're saved, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the world has a course, it has an influence, the prince of the power of the air, a spirit, has a spiritual influence that contributes to this disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Watch it, fulfilling the desires of, these are blanks, the flesh and of the mind. Okay? So we had both. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Would you notice something? These are separate entities. And there are a couple of other passages of Scripture where you see them broken out. One is the flesh, and it has its normal thing, and then that one of the mind. So these things are different, and therefore they're going to be studied as two separate problems, and we're going to isolate the problem with the mind. Oftentimes we get upset and say, well, that's just my flesh. But if there's a thinking process that's involved in it, you can isolate that out and say, you know, we have got to deal with the thinking process here. Now notice the flesh had its desires and the mind has its desires, okay? And so those are things that we're involved in, and were by nature, the Bible goes on to say, the children of wrath, even as others. Well, you know something, after you get saved, then you are still capable of thinking like you did before you got saved, because the same mind that you had before you got saved is the same mind you have 1 second after you get saved. It's still the same mind that you have 50 years later if you've been saved that long. That mind is still operable in your body, okay? And so turn to Romans chapter 8 and notice then what kind of problem this creates. Romans chapter 8. Fortunately, the mind you had is not the only mind you have after you get saved. You get another mind, but now you have two. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. You know something? That's a very common problem. You wash because you notice that you have body odor. You brush your teeth because you notice that you have to clean those things if you want them to stay in your head. You comb your hair. You conduct hygiene, various things. You may, if you're a lady, might do a little more than that. And what do you say, put on your face? Is that the word, the phrase? You put on some makeup, all right? You clothe yourself, and you're conscious about the clothing that you wear. So there's all kinds of things that occupy your mind and the flesh. They that are after the mind do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So the two minds then you've got here are the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. You can be carnally minded, that's what you had before you got saved, or you can be spiritually minded. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but when he says the carnal mind is enmity against God, that's not the mind that you brush your teeth with, or the mind that causes you to want to go and nourish your body so that you can continue to live or put clothing on, all right? Those are normal, natural, common, good functions. But when you take that same mind and you bring it into a spiritual setting and try to deal with spiritual matters with that mind, you're going to make a mess. You ever been in a church that was carnally minded? All right, there you see the mess that creates. Likewise, you've been in churches that are spiritually minded, where the Word of God has free course, the Spirit of God works with liberty, God is honored, the Word of God is magnified. You get that kind of thing going and then leave and occupy your thinking with the spiritual mind, it will change your attitude about everything that you do. For instance, in churches like ours, when there is a desire to get control of the display of the flesh, there will be standards imposed that dictate how you're supposed to clothe yourself. What does the Bible say? The Bible says you're to be modest. If you're spiritually minded and filled with the Spirit of God, your dress will be modest and honoring to God without somebody telling you with a measuring stick when you walk in the door whether or not you put on the right clothes that day. Is that right or wrong? But if you take a carnal-minded Christian and you say, I'm going to dress you this way, you know what you're going to end up with? You're going to end up with a Pharisee. You got to be, listen, you can do all you want to do on the outward thing. If that mind doesn't change and you don't start occupying your mind with spiritual things, you're going to have trouble with temptation from here till Jesus comes. So you've got to recognize you have a spiritual mind now, and it is very, very different than your carnal mind. It thinks differently. One of them is an enemy against God, and the other one pleases God. Okay? It's a very important thing to recognize. It's not the same mind that is affected by these temptations. There are two things working in there. You're a schizo. I knew that when I first met you. Okay? All right, now because you have both minds, then it's possible to be tempted in the old mind, in that carnal. I didn't put carnal mind there because I didn't want you to jump ahead and then write in. I know, that is carnal. It's important for us to actually see these things in Scripture. And with that old mind, to do some things. Let's look quickly at these. Philippians 3:19. It's possible to be tempted in the old mind and mind. Philippians 3:19. Verse 18 starts the context because it's one parenthesis. It says, many walk of whom I have told you often, I'll tell you even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Okay? Who mind earthly things. Well, you know, it's earthly things that tempt us. That's why the Lord said to his disciples, look, when you go out there, you what? Take one staff, one pair of shoes, one coat. Don't take a purse. Don't worry about the food. I'll take care of that. Why? He didn't want them minding earthly things. Because the more attention that you pay to those things, the less attention you're going to put on spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. In the vanity of their mind. What are they doing? Well, they're just talking about things that are worthless, vain. What are the results of walking like that? Look at this, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Notice their understanding is darkened, they're ignorant, their hearts are blind. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. We studied that word a little over a year ago. To work all uncleanness with greediness. You know, I had a Christian saved just like you are. On his way to heaven just like you are. That called me. He had been in and out of multiple marriages, in and out of multiple relationships, every other kind of thing. And, I met a relative of his, and if you please talk to this fellow, I said, well, if this fellow will call me, I'll talk. The fellow called. We got to talking. Man, I'm telling you what, boy, you talk about just somebody totally dominated by a carnal mind. So I took him to this verse of Scripture. I said, this is what you're describing. You know, that's not a good thing, but may I tell you something? That describes us in a carnal mind, what you're reading right there. So we really, really have to be careful. And Paul, listen, Paul told them, you know what? You get saved, it doesn't automatically click on the spiritual mind and click off the carnal mind. He had to tell them, don't walk in the vanity of your mind. Okay? Titus 1:15. These are kind of organized, these little thoughts that you see here in these verses are organized in a expandingly more troublesome order. First, you start minding earthly things, then walking in the vanity of your mind. That's not just thinking vainly, but actually walking in that mind. Then watch what happens. Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Notice the conscience gets defiled, so does the mind. They have their mind defiled when they're tempted in the old mind. I was talking to a preacher one time, and he says, I was invited by somebody. We went, and they showed me some program, and he goes, you know what, when I finished, I started to watch that, I had to get up because, he said, my mind was defiled. My mind was defiled. That bothered me. Okay, maybe it wouldn't bother you. It bothered this person, but let me just say this. If you, ladies, because you're the ones that do this in your home, maybe a couple of you men wash your own clothes. When you do the laundry and you have washed whites and you got them and they're looking good, they're all white, and then you get a little spot on there, on that white thing, it is very obvious that your clean garment has been defiled. And if you happen to notice that before you put on this white blouse, you look at that and you go, well, I can't wear that. There's a spot on here. I'm going to have to wash that again. Okay? You already have one that you weeded the beds in last week. You know, it's got a little bit of dirt here and there, and it's not quite ready for the laundry. You just got it good and broken in for yard work. See, I think I can do this one more time. You put that, it's got little stuff all over it. I'm going to put that on. I'm getting ready to go do some yard work. I'm trying to make a really bad attempt at an illustration here. Once you're in that kind of an environment and you're already dealing with something that's a little cruddy, you don't mind. You know what the problem is? We live in a cruddy world. And we don't get good and cleaned up, and we're already kind of cruddied up like the rest of the world. We go out there, you know what we do? We say, that's all right. Because we're living in a cruddy world. You know what that's a sign of? A mind that has gotten defiled. That's why when you hear various preachers up here preaching and they say, be careful what you do on the internet, be careful what you're watching on television, be careful about those movies, you know what's happening? Those things are defiling your mind. And suddenly you look at sin a way that you didn't look at it before because you say, well, everybody else is doing it. It's not that big a deal. If you got good and cleaned up, you'd think it was a horrible deal. That's the point. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing that weak illustration. Yeah. Romans 1:28. Took a lot longer to make the point than I wanted to, but Lord will, I think we got it. Romans 1:28. So it starts out minding earthly things. Then we start walking in the vanity of our minds. Then suddenly our minds are defiled. And then look at this, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Somebody said, what's a reprobate mind? What I learned early on was that's a mind that's damned that can never be saved. That would indicate that it would never happen to a Christian. And I don't know that I believe that looking at this list. That's a mind that is capable of doing verses 29 to 31. That's what a reprobate mind is. What is it capable of doing? Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, and you can read the rest of it. But notice backbiters, haters of God. You've never met any Christians like that? Never been tempted to do the very same thing that you're reading in the list? Of course. What that is now a mind that just doesn't, you know what it is? It's a mind that doesn't like to retain God and its knowledge. It doesn't care what God thinks about what it's doing. Say, well, man, that old fella sure got backslidden. You know what that is? That's a mind that's operating as a reprobate mind. And that's what happens. Because if we have both minds, then it's possible for Christians to be tempted in the old mind and go all the way down to this very thing. Look at verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm going to say it again, but there are people that pay good money to go to the theater to watch 29, 30, and 31 committed in front of your face and come out of there and you say, you know what, that was a good movie. Something's wrong with the mind. Do you see that? And then you're a week later dealing with a temptation in your flesh. You go, man, what's the matter here? The matter is, the mind is very carnal now. You see how it's going? You got to protect that thing. He said the helmet of salvation, we've got to put a steel trap around there. We've got to be really careful what we're allowing to go through these heads. The mind is connected closely to the heart. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You've got to watch the imagination, right? Okay. Fortunately, we don't have to use the mind we had before we were saved, because God's done something inside of us when he gave us this spiritual mind. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Now, Mark chapter 5, buddy, you are dealing with one bad dude. That's all I can say. This guy runs around naked. They can't hold him with chains. He likes graveyards, so he's infatuated with death. Speaking of infatuated with death, you know, everybody talks about CSI Los Angeles, CSI New York, CSI Miami, Detroit, Chicago. I mean, I don't know where they all are, you know, okay? You know what all that is? That is an infatuation with death. The movies are murder mysteries. They're blowing everybody away. They're not satisfied for a guy to just get in a fight and fall down. Now they got to have blood splattered all over the place. Death, 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 death. I don't know when all that started, but I told you, you know, I've got this XM radio, and you can flip over and listen to the old detective stories and things like that, Shadow and all that kind of stuff. Back there from the 40s, all of them are dealing with death. Am I right or wrong? Okay. All right. Verse 3, this guy had his dwelling among the tombs. I think there's an association. This guy had some devils in him. People that keep going back to that type of death portrayed, there's an infatuation with it. Looks like some bad spiritual stuff there, doesn't it? All right. Well, anyway, so this guy's cutting himself with stones. You know, we have people today that deal with emotional problems by cutting themselves. It's a real problem. Crying, you got a lot of people that just deal with depression, that are just crying all the time about every kind of a thing. All right, see all these associations? Now notice, when he gets the unclean spirits out of him in verse 15, they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now I tell you something, if you messed up when you were younger and you got your mind running off in a bad way, God, it's like riding the ship. God can give you a right mind. That's a wonderful thing. So you can start thinking correctly. 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm shocked. But there are most people you know that are not inside of this room, they don't have a sound mind. They can't think straight. We didn't have it, and a lot of times, those of us who are in here don't think with a sound mind. you ever do something and look back on that and say, "Well, that was a bonehead decision." It didn't have to be that way. Okay, you have been given a sound mind, 1 Corinthians 2:16, that mind that you have been given is the mind of you're going to love this. The mind of Christ. You've been given the mind of Christ. You know what we need to do? We need to use it. We've got it. We've got to use it. You've got the mind of Christ. You have a right mind. God has given you a sound mind. And so when you are plagued with temptation, remember, if it's affecting the carnal mind, take a step back and say, wait a minute. I have the mind of Christ. I have a right mind. I have a sound mind. Let's think through this thing a different way. You know, it's not just something like you flip on a light switch. I go on to say, in order to use this mind and cultivate it for the things of the Lord to overcome temptation, you need to do some things. Okay? What are they? Well, Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12. Think with humbleness of mind. Paul says, I think in Romans, humility of mind, rather than a mind that is hardened by pride. I'll give you a reference in Daniel. You don't have to go over there. You can actually see that for yourself in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20. There's a mind hardened with pride. That's the mind of Belshazzar, hardened with pride. You know, that's what happens to us when we get into temptation like that. We become proud about certain things and get hardened in that. In humbleness of mind, you finally have a mind that will that can believe God's words and take instruction and reproof and rebuke and chastisement from the Lord and actually begin to change, to appropriate some of the things that God said by faith so that you can use it. If you got a proud mind, you got a hard time. And then Romans 12, 2, you could probably quote this. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. And then 2 goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation that takes place in this process of developing, of cultivating a spiritual mind. You start thinking about the world a different way. Now, look, you guys, you're the Wednesday night crowd. You're here every Wednesday night, unless there's something that just prevents you from being here. You're faithful. You've been reading your Bibles. You've been hearing a lot of preaching and that kind of thing. Am I building you up enough? You go on. Yeah, you want a little more? Do you not think a little differently about some things than you used to years ago? Isn't that amazing? That's a good thing. Well, when you're tempted, just remember, I'm not thinking the same way as I used to about a lot of other things. Maybe I can be thinking about this thing differently and have a different result. Now, they tell me on certain addictions, like I was talking to somebody the other day about smoking. This person doesn't smoke anymore that I was talking to. This person said, a female, she said, but boy, I'll tell you what, quitting smoking was really difficult because they say that you get over the physical addiction of it in 3 days, but you really have a hard time with the mental addiction. I told a story one time about a fellow that quit smoking. He said, right now, I've been off cigarettes long enough. He said, I see in my mind, he smoked Winston's. Oh, Winston from here to the door that I could light up and smoke in one drag. The mental play. All right? You know what we need is a transformation of the mind so we could see something like that differently. That's where the battle is. Because they say about that, what is that? That methamphetamine? Is that the methamphetamine? They say one hit of that deal, it affects your mind. You can get away from it. They'll put you in jail for however long you come out. And I mean, the first thing you want is that because your mind is so tied into it. It's very, very difficult to do. But you know something? There's a transforming work that renews your mind. Goes on to Ephesians 4:23. Goes on to Ephesians 4:23. And notice that. Put off, 22 says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. They do deceive you. Oh, you do this, it won't hurt you, but you know, they do deceive you. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So that means you're going to be thinking with a new mind and a totally different outlook. I've never been to anything like Weight Watchers or any of that other kind of stuff, okay? But maybe some of y'all have. You go to something, weight loss programs. I say that because everybody at some point in their lives has attempted a diet. All right? Isn't some of what you do there to strengthen your mind about what you're doing? I mean, like a Weight Watcher thing, don't you weigh in? Huh? Once a week. Isn't that to give you some, accountability? Okay, those things, that gives you some encouragement, some accountability, some, you know, process to deal with your mind about these matters. If you were going to deal with, and I say that because people in America obviously have a lot of problems with this, but if people look at it and say, you know what, from now on, I'm not going to eat just to satisfy my appetite. I'm going to eat to nourish my body. You know what? They start thinking about food in a different way. Listen, do you not think that in advertising they're trying to appeal to your mind, to give you an attitude about the food, that if you eat this, you're going to be, Popeye, and if you eat that, you're going to be, happily married for the rest of your life, and eat this, you're going to be like on vacation every day of your life? Right? I mean, they just affect you with that stuff. You got to renew your mind. You got to think about food differently. You have to think about these areas of temptation differently and start thinking about them the way the Lord thinks about them. And that is contrary to the way we think about things. Is that not right? Okay. And then finally, one other thing that really helps in this thing with the temptation, dealing with temptation, the trouble with the mind, is this. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. This is in answer to the question about the greatest commandment. He answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." We understand that. "And with all thy soul." We understand that. But watch it. "And with all thy strength and with all thy mind." The more that your mind, we think about it in terms of the heart, but the more that your mind is in love with the Lord God, the less that your mind can be involved in succumbing to temptation, because the capacity is being filled with the love of God. So hopefully these little things that you see here will be some tools. Maybe you've seen something tonight and say, "Oh, yeah, man, I hadn't seen that before. I'll try that." Truly, if we would just follow how God lays it out for us, this would give us stronger minds in the face of temptation. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope it does you some good. I know that I'm going to keep these notes at hand. Okay? They're going to do me a lot of good. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to see what you said about the mental battle with temptation. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll take this little work we've seen in your scripture and arm us with a ready mind to stand better in the face of temptation that we have in the past, Father, and teach us how to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, how to think with that spiritual mind, not with that carnal mind. We ask you to do these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.